We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I mean, they're making a big deal. Like this was the catch of the year. I'm like, I didn't think it was that. Did you guys think it was that?
I did not.
Oh, that was a good catch. It wasn't Marcelo Zuna, if you didn't see it. Check out his catch yesterday. That was a great catch.
All right, okay.
I would say based on the fact that it's Judge, it gets Yankees within a run.
But here's a headline. You know, inside the remarkable catch that saved David Price's night.
Well,
I mean, does that...
By the way, they still were winning the game, right, if the ball goes over the fence.
It's 3-2 if the... Right, but
I just don't think that it was all that remarkable. I thought it was good. I expect a Major League center fielder who is as good as Jackie Bradley and as athletic as Jackie Bradley to go make that play.
Listen, I'm with you on that. I think it's being said that because of the moment and who it was. It's Aaron Judge, who, by the way, was in a 1-for-20 slump, whatever
it was.
Oh, really? Nothing to do with the home run derby.
He might not hit another home run the rest of the season.
See if Bartolo Colon whiffs him three times Tuesday night, then you might be rethinking that.
And how about Bartolo Colon, who, when asked why he did not come back to the Mets, so obviously made him an offer to come back, he said, well, here's very simple. Not a single player on the team reached out to me saying, hey, why don't you come on back? And I figured if they wanted me back, at least one player would have said, hey, Biggs, come on back. But since I didn't hear from a single player on the team, I figured I wasn't really wanted. It's unbelievable, right?
Right.
Here's Brian in Maspeth Beach and Jerry's update. Brian, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, I just had a quick question. The other day I was listening, you guys were on vacation, and Francesa was on their program. You know, your guy's show. Was he using that for publicity or was he just on, you know?
Yeah, I guess they were all patting themselves on the back about the 30 for 30. And it was a let's kiss Mike and Chris's ass day here on The Fan. So if you're going to call and try to get an audience just based on ratings, you might as well call the morning show.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking, you know. You know, maybe he's a little upset he's not number one anymore.
I would think he is, but who knows? You know, I'm not sure how that goes. Maybe, you know, if you're just cruising on your last 4 months out the door, maybe you don't give a damn. Well, how do I know? We weren't a part of it. I obviously heard about it. Everyone's, you know, texting me and Boomer and tweeting us. Hey, what do you think about them going on your morning? Well, what am I supposed to think about it? Huh?
I mean, Moose worked for them, or worked with them, I should say.
For a while.
Yeah.
Kim, when she covered the Yankees, was on their show a lot, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, listen, I think they did the smart thing in having him on. Of course, Mark stepped in. He told me this morning, he goes, I told him they had to take a commercial break or something.
I am the tiny tot of
there
the kilowatt.
Oh, man. There he is. There's your man. There's
although,
your guy.
Someone sent me video of Mark coming into the studio.
He actually came in the studio.
He looks so happy. I mean, like, it was like, he was so happy. And the audio that was sent to me was he calls him doggy. Like, Mark was like...
Oh, my
like,
God. Really?
Well, I think he always called him that.
Whatever.
I do.
Mark was like 20 years younger, full of life and vibrant, and he was so happy. Mike and Chris are back together on my station. Oh.
Much hubbadoo and much to me made about nothing.
So yes, I probably heard about 5 minutes of it because it was sent to me, and I became aware of it, and I'm clearly aware of it now. But yeah, Mark was giddy.
Yeah,
so happy. Oh yeah. Ooh.
No, I don't think he's going to be lovey-dory.
Lovey-dory, yes, he is.
It is funny how people that work here at The Fan reacted to the 30 for 30.
How?
I'm fascinated by that. You know, I forget a lot of times that from a radio job standpoint, that there's a good majority of people that work here that have never worked anywhere else. Like, WFN has been their only place of employment in radio, whether they started off as interns here and got jobs and stayed there, or they just, you know, came here as their first job, which in most radio stations is not the norm. So I often forget that. Like, they've no other life experience radio-wise to compare it to other than The Fan.
Yeah, and Well, I was just to say, the thing about it is that 30 at 30, I know it's about Mike and Chris, but it's really about the radio station. Yeah, a lot of it is about the genesis of the radio station, where it came from, what it's all about.
I didn't see it yet. I have it on DVR, but I've not seen it yet.
A lot of it was about their fights,
so
honestly.
Who was the guy before Chernoff, Mason?
Yeah.
So what I got out of this whole thing was that Mason, when he decided to put Mike and Chris together, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess Mike wanted the job all by himself.
Yeah, they both.
And Mason said, "Well, look, if you show up Monday, then you'll be working here with Chris. If you don't, then you're not going to be here."
Right. So.
I thought that they did like what we did, like, you know, okay, here are two guys, put them together, and let's go.
And neither guy complained about it.
Right.
Yeah, they never wanted to be together, apparently. But, who knows? I thought the reaction.
What are you fighting over? What were they fighting over? Like the Giants and the Mets and the Yankees and home runs and who throws a slider? I mean, really, honestly, grown men fighting over that stuff.
Could be a random June Met Philly game that would,
But it was kind of interesting. I mean, I always think that personality is what drives these radio shows, no matter who you listen to, what's going on. And I do believe in my heart that our radio show flows because of your personality, that it flows right through you, and it's fine. It's great. You're the Energizer Bunny and all that other stuff, and you're great at what you do, and you create firestorms and controversies. And the number one question I always get, how do you work with that moron, and how do you work with this idiot, and how do you work with that jackass? And I'm like, well, he's my jackass, moron, and idiot, and I can work with him anytime, anywhere, anyhow, because he's really good at what he does, becoming a jackass, moron, and an idiot. But when I think about Mike and Chris and all those years that, you know, when I played here, then of course was a part of their program and everything else, what drove that was the reaction from Mike to Chris, because Chris was a lunatic.
No, their interpersonal stuff was what it was. Yeah. I'm just amazed by the reaction of the people that work here. It fascinates me. And listen, I listen to them all the time, too. They were a great show, no doubt about it. One of the great best shows, team shows, in the history of radio. I've been jaded by it now because I don't like Mike, and he doesn't like me, and that's all well and good. But the reaction of people here is like, I never seen anything like that before in my life.
What's the reaction?
Oh, I mean, you'd think they walked on water for people here, when the reality is that they couldn't have been worse to people in the building.
That's not true.
Not
about Chris. Absolutely.
Maybe not.
I don't know about Mike,
but
Chris was about as friendly a guy as there was.
Yeah. Until you turned your back. That was the problem with Chris. The one thing I always liked about Mike is that he was an a-hole to your face and behind your back.
Mike was always very quiet.
And Chris was like, "I'm going to show you doing terrible things there, Billy." And then as soon as you turn around, terrible.
All right.
Anyway, listen, it's... they stink! That's right.
So-called heinous crime.
Oh, my God.
Listen, you said it. I didn't. And I always find, you know, we don't talk about ratings much on this show. I always find you could take the ratings and make them whatever you want to make them, right?
Right.
So the first story comes out and it goes, so lowest rated 30 for 30 in 2 years. Okay. Then Neil Best, who's on Mike's payroll, to the point of really just embarrassing himself. I mean, he wears knee pads 4 days a week.
Okay.
I mean, he's worn through at least five or six pairs. The way he's on Mike's jock, it fascinates me that he calls himself a journalist. He's a total clown hack who's on Mike's payroll to the point where he can't write an article about anything or anyone without then referencing, and Mike's back on the radio today at 1 o'clock. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And he denies that and thinks it's not true. I mean, go back and read 10 of the last 20 comms. It's driven towards one person. It's a joke. And then you have to pay extra for it if you're not an optimum subscriber online. Which
is that a new report or an old report?
Tragedy. But it's funny. And then, so the first report comes out, lowest rated 30 for 30 in 2 years. And then Neil comes out and goes, but it did a great number in New York, quadrupling that number and dominating its time slot in New York. Like you're being paid to, you know, be the spokesperson for, Mike and Chris. It's
team rises to the crap.
Anyway, here's Jerry with an update.
Who cares?
I said, I get interested in what was it about Daniel Murphy and Justin Turner that the Mets decided can't play for us? Murphy's batting .350 almost. Turner's batting .370, and they're killing it, but they weren't good enough to play for the Mets. So I like the off-the-field stories. What was it about them guys that the Mets said, no, not here, can't have that? So that's why I delved into that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Exactly right.
All right.
Meanwhile, Jerry's got an update with all of the good stuff.
All right, brought to you by Chris Stapleton, July 20th, PNC Bank Arts Center, July 21st, Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We'll start with the Yankees and Red Sox because they completed their doubleheader last night. This was the play that pretty much, I'm not going to say sealed it, but this was the deciding factor. You could make the case, especially with the Judge hit.
There's the 1-0. Hit on the ground at third, and it goes past Reyes, a base hit to left field. Scoring is Betts, and Boston takes a 3-0 lead on the RBI single from Dustin Pedroia.
And so that's John Sterling, the fan, regardless of whether Judge hit the homer or not. That put Boston up 3-0. They won 3-0 as they split the two and split the four-game series. Mookie Betts a home run on the third inning of this game as well. Here was Joe Girardi. Judge had the home run taken away. Fair enough. He did not have a good weekend, though. He says, so be it. It's Major League Baseball.
Went through a tough time for the first time this year. I mean, it's kind of what, you know, it's going to happen at some point. You're going to have a tough 3 or 4 days, 5 days.
And the four days.
They've had a tough 30 days.
They have. I did not realize. I mean, I probably should have, but I didn't realize till yesterday morning that the Rays went past them.
Yeah.
They've played good baseball, but even today they're still a half game up on the Yankees.
Rays have played more games, that's why.
They have. No, they have, but they've played better than people thought.
The Yankees have played 90 games. Right? They're 47
The Yankees are 47-43, right.
So they've played 90 games.
47-43.
The Rays have played 93 games.
Right.
So there you have it.
Yep, exactly.
The game that kills the Yanks is the Friday night game when you got the lead and Chapman on the mound, because they would be one out in the loss column.
You make the case, though, they shouldn't have won Saturday, though. To me, it balanced itself out. They should have absolutely won Friday night. Yeah, I mean, it was just the whole weekend was...
Kimbrel!
Yes. This was funny from Saturday. At least I found this amusing. By the way, the Yankees won Sunday afternoon 3-0. CC Sabathia walked a bunch of guys, but still went six good innings.
That's a big deal considering.
It's got eight wins now.
I heard some of that on the radio, and I heard Susan had mentioned on the radio that, you know, he didn't do any type of real rehab stint. He did one simulated game. And I guess after the simulated game, he went to Girardi and Cashman and said, I'm good.
Yeah.
Let's just go. And they came to him. It's like, can I remember Matt Harvey? When the Mets went to him like an hour before the game, that afternoon game, whatever it was.
And he
spit the bit.
Right.
Well, they did the same thing to Sabathia. He pitched his ass off.
And he was asked about it. He said, I've got a book on these. I've pitched against them a million times. I'm ready to go.
But the difference between Harvey and Sabathia is that Sabathia basically is coming off of the All-Star break, so he had more than enough rest.
Plus, Harvey, by the way, has lost like 30 pounds.
Has he really?
He looks fantastic. Yeah. And he's going to be thrown in a couple weeks. He really looks... Frankly, a lot healthier than us.
On the paleo diet, maybe? Or the
I don't know what diet he's
diet.
On, but...
maybe the Duke's diet?
I bumped into him the other day, and he is... I was like, I didn't even know it was Matt Harvey.
I offered Al a Gatorade yesterday, and he's like, turned it down.
Well,
I only drink
calories.
Water.
A lot of sugar. A lot of sugar.
Yeah, I only drink
a lot
water.
Of sugar. And plus, you got to be running around. To drink Gatorade the right way, it's for an athlete.
Yes.
So you got to run away and replenish.
That's exactly right.
Al works out. He's not really an athlete, so there's nothing to replenish.
It was very warm yesterday. A lot of replenishment.
It was. We were replenishing.
I don't want to be a bad guy here, but I'm going to be.
Okay.
I saw Al as he was walking down the stands to the field, you know, before the game started.
Yeah.
And I thought he was dying. he looks sickly.
He's very thin.
No, it's come to the point where I believe it's a disease or sickness he has.
Those uniforms are very tight.
And I am now legitimately worried about you because you had, for a good period of time, you were thin, healthy looking. You look sickly now.
I would say
that, Al, you are like the opposite of me. Like, I fill out the entire uniform. You don't fill out any of the uniform.
In fairness, we're puffy.
No,
he's normal.
This has nothing to do with us. I agree.
No, it is. Because we look in the mirror and we think we're the norm.
No, we're not.
And we are the norm, sadly.
We're
fat.
I believe he has. We're men, Jerry. He's got
certain guys that want to feel manly.
Yeah. That's
Al is the healthiest person here.
Yeah. I disagree with that.
Well, you can disagree all you want. When was the last time Al was sick?
I would say that he is the healthiest guy here.
Al is the healthiest guy here.
There is no strain on his heart or anything.
No, there's not. Just
his heart
just
goes boom, 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 boom. Perfect.
Nope.
Two years ago, you're wrong.
I agree. Now
he's slow though.
He's sickly.
He's like Wilma Flores.
Oh, by the way, he had like a grand piano on his back trying, and his excuse was it's 90 feet. I go, you're still running though.
I didn't see a single person on our team running out. Ground balls, not a single one.
Well, they should all be fired then.
Agree.
You see, instead of taking the criticism, you try to put it on others.
You know, by the way, everybody was running out balls. The only guy, Eddie didn't run out of ball.
I actually was running.
I heard there was someone that did not make an effort for a pop up.
Is that me?
Oh, that was Boomer. And then when he did, he almost
sure
fell down.
Was.
So it was a little bit.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
Because the mound was right behind where he was pitching. So the first pop up to the mound, he said, I'm not walking over the mound. It's dangerous. And then I think, you know, ego took over the second time. He goes, fine, my ball. And we didn't catch that one either.
My bad.
I misplayed a pop up in the sun. Al missed the pop up. And listen, we should have won the game. And once again, we gave a game away. It all started, though, with the very first batter of the game, can of corn to a left center. And once again, Boomer's nephew Randy, in his glove, out of his glove,
really?
That set the tone.
And the worst
Randy
part about
dropped it, a fly ball.
Yeah, yeah, a pop-up.
Basically. A pop-up, not even like a running.
And,
you
know, and that's surprising. He didn't have the run for it either. And then DiPietro basically decided, you know what? I'm going to have to take over for Randy because I can't trust him now.
Right.
So then DiPietro tries to run in front. You know how Kirshner does?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He tries to run in front of everybody and make every play because he's like the Tasmanian devil on the field.
Yes.
So now this becomes DiPietro's turn to become the Tasmanian devil.
Another ball
and
drops.
He goes to try to make a play in front of Randy, and Randy just sits there.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get run over by him.
Run over. He's a professional athlete, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, what is this? Are you flesh and blood? What is this?
He has tattoos. Oh, he might hurt me.
Oh, yeah. Dysfunctional group.
I mean,
it is a very dysfunctional group, yeah. Yeah, Randy had a tough day. Really tough day.
Can't even say we had a good time, to be honest.
That's fair.
That was a good time. We had fun.
It was fun. We had fun. And it was
That's
a great place.
Stadium, by the way, man.
Yeah, what else you got,
really
Jerry?
A cool place.
Just quickly, we're running out of time here. The Mets did lose. They were horrendous yesterday. Well, Steven Matz was horrendous. He gave up 7 runs before recording it out in the second inning. You had the Charlie Blackmon inside the park home run that was not an inside the park home run.
It was a real home run.
But
they counted it as an inside the park home run. And it made Curtis Granderson look bad.
Yes.
He saw it go over the orange line, but the umpires didn't.
No need to review it because
reviewed.
He went all the way.
Right.
Well, why?
Because it should be a home run. It shouldn't be listed.
It still goes in the books as a home run,
goes
though.
As an inside the park home run.
Well, there's no official stat for inside the park home run, is there? I don't know that, actually. That's a good question.
Curtis Granderson was asked about it afterwards. And it was his
He's
answer,
like, why should I go after it? I know it's a home run.
It was a home run.
Right.
And so Charlie Blackmon. The guy speeding around the bases. By the way, the whole Met team stopped, you know?
Yeah.
And it was. It hit the M&M sign. It was
right.
A home run.
Exactly. So, whatever. They wound up losing.
Now, by the way, that whole thing is stupid. The ball should go over the fence.
I agree 100%.
The line is ridiculous.
Either it goes over a fence or it doesn't.
Like what's the point of that?
If it hits the big green monster, is there a line on the big green monster?
You know why they did it, right?
Why?
Because of David Wright.
It was a whole team couldn't hit a home
they
run.
They couldn't hit home
building.
Runs. So, you have a nice wall there. And, you know, you put advertising on it. It's all well and good. But there's the orange tape. Why is the orange tape there? Because the Mets couldn't hit it over it.
I'm with Boomer, though. They already pulled the fences in. Just leave the wall what it is.
By the way, I agree with both of you. It should
crazy.
Be off the wall is get as much as you can. Over the wall is a home run.
Yep.
Why we have this dopey orange line? And they're not the only ones that do it. There's a number of stadiums that have a dopey line. It's beyond me.
I think it's Arizona or Milwaukee. I forget. They have it in center field.
Stupid.
Like, I mean, I think it's
now,
Arizona.
Their argument's going to be that they're separate walls, that the M&M
the M&M thing is right
is,
over the top of it.
It's not connected to it?
I don't care. It's right over the top of it.
I agree.
Just hit it over the M&M sign.
Right. And maybe we should win M&Ms or something.
Yeah, or something.
If a New York Met hits a home run to that
everybody
part of the
gets
field,
M&Ms.
Everybody gets M&Ms.
Of course, only the Mets. They would do that, and then the ball would slip through the crack between the M&Ms.
And something would happen. We're not giving out any M&Ms. No, it didn't hit it. It did not hit it.
The Nationals did beat the Reds 14-4. You mentioned Daniel Murphy. 2 home runs, 5 RBIs. God. It really is ridiculous. And the Dodgers have won 9 straight, beat the Marlins 3-2. Mentioned the Ozuna catch. Well, Justin Turner did hit a home run. He's batting 374, Craig.
Justin Turner's batting 374.
Justin Turner, how many at-bats does he have?
He's soon going to start qualifying if he doesn't already because he missed, about 45 days, I would say, because of injury.
So right now, they have Daniel Murphy leading the National League with 348
right.
Batting average. Justin Turner doesn't have enough at-bats
he's getting there,
to
though.
Register. For that, right?
Right, correct.
All right, so the point being is that you could have Daniel Murphy and Justin Turner fighting for MVP.
Well, certainly fighting 1-2 for a lot of offense.
Well, I don't
statistics.
Think Turner will, but you can certainly make the case that they're going to be 1-2 batting-wise.
Let me ask you this. If the Dodgers win their division, which it clearly looks
Daniel
like they
Murphy
will.
Daniel Murphy has 71
Cody.
RBIs.
But let's say if Turner goes on a 2-month, you know, continues his tear, and let's say he bats 380.
Well.
I'm just putting it out there,
sure.
Right? 370, fine. He bats 370 and has How many at-bats do you have now? Any idea?
I have the final.
I know he's not on the major list. Yeah, tell me how many at-bats
if he bats 380 and Bellinger cools off, he's got a shot. If Bellinger hits 50 home runs.
He'd have to be. Right. The problem is that he's on the same team as Bellinger.
Bellinger, if you remember, things really turned for them when Bellinger was called up and started going nuts with the home run ball. And by the way, Clayton Kershaw, I think, is 13-2.
He's got 238 at-bats, boom. Right, go towards so
he'll get
back
there.
A little bit.
There
so,
60 games to go.
So if he's got 65 games, four at bats a game, that's 260 more at bats. So he could get to 500 at bats. That's possible.
Yeah.
But he might come a little short. But
he's only got 11 home runs and 39 RBIs because he missed all those games.
So if you double those numbers, right? If 20 plus home runs, 90 RBIs, and he bats 370 on a team that wins the division by 20 games. He'd have to be in the conversation, wouldn't he, Boom?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that Justin Turner has 238 at-bats. Cody Bellinger has 269 at-bats.
Yep.
You know, so they're relatively close in the amount of games they've played as well. Bellinger's played 33 and Justin Turner 68. Well, so
it'll be interesting.
I just think because Justin Turner is batting what he's batting, 374.
He's got to be in the conversation.
As long as he continues to do what he's doing. But
you know,
Daniel Murphy's just having another unbelievable year.
Daniel Murphy, I mean, might be the
MVP. Unbelievable years.
That whole lineup is absurd.
Can't play for the Mets, though. I mean, the Mets couldn't have worse luck.
He would not be batting when he's batting.
How do you know?
No, because he's
in a lineup that is ridiculous.
I don't buy that crap.
But plus, he's also healthy with the Washington Nationals. He wouldn't be healthy with the Mets.
Like, Murphy has come out and said it.
I don't. So, who are you pitching around to pitch to a guy batting 350?
Well, do you want to pitch to Anthony Rendon and Bryce Harper and Zimmerman?
Well,
I mean it's ridiculous.
Them,
every single one
of
those guys.
And they're all batting in the 300s. I mean, it's pick your poison.
And every single one of those guys kills the Mets.
The
every
one guy you'd
one.
Want to pitch to in that group would probably be the guy that doesn't hit as many home runs. Although, what's he got, 17 now?
Are you talking about Rendon or are you talking about Murphy?
I'm talking about Murph.
Ridiculous.
Right. So the New York Mets, that's great, Matt. That's great front office decisions there. Justin Turner can't play for us. Oh, and neither can Murphy. Neither can Murphy. He's a net negative.
There was not one Met fan that thought it was a bad thing letting Justin Turner
I remember
go.
Yelling
there
and screaming
wasn't.
The day they got rid of Justin Turner saying, why are you getting rid of one of our guys? You go back and check the tape.
The net negative.
The net negatives. Maybe they didn't like his religious beliefs either. Please. At the end of the day, just if a guy can play ball, he can play ball, let him play ball.
Look, they're net negatives.
Because I know Neil Walker's killing for the Mets right now.
He's hurt.
And who's playing third?
TJ Rivera, who is
who
killing it
hit
right
the ball.
Now. Oh, by the
course,
way.
He hit nine-game hit streak. That set him down.
They'll get rid of him next year, so don't worry about it.
They did. Don't forget, last game before the All-Star break, he had a nine-game hit streak, and what did they do? He's not playing today! Stupid. As Forrest Gump said, stupid is what the Mets do. Boomer and Carton on the Fan. Your call's coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.